speaking on in between, the in-between of life, where we spend a great quantity of our lives there. And our main text today will be Mark chapter 4, the Gospel of Mark, as Mark declares the story of a perilous journey. It began like Gilligan's Island so calmly, but there was peril. Here's how Mark describes it in chapter 4, verse 35. On the same day when evening had come, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now, when they had left the multitude, they took Jesus along in the boat as he was, and other little boats also were with him. So people that had there was a multitude, and those that could got in their little boats and followed Christ. And a great windstorm arose, and waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. So the climate and in the whole world, there were a few places that kind of replicate kind of the dynamics of Israel. But Arizona is close to one. So we have kind of the same climatic and even the same geology, all kinds of stuff. There's similarities. And just like when a monsoon comes, and a monsoon is the result here, a windstorm, the new term, haboob, when it comes. It is the result of the collision of two air currents, two systems, hot and cold. And when they meet, there's combustion. And when the cool winds come up over from the mountains, from the Mediterranean Sea, and they come and they connect to the hot desert, and when they meet there over the Sea of Galilee, there's sudden, combustive, powerful, violent storms come out of nowhere. And so they began, everything looked so promising, but in the middle of their journey, an unexpected but powerfully violent windstorm came. It was so bad, it was filling the boat. The Bible says it was beating, the waves beating the boat, and it was filling it with water. And these now, half of the guys, almost half the guys, a quarter of the people on this boat were professional fishermen. And they became alarmed and even fearful of their lives. But here's Jesus, verse 38. Jesus was in the stern, the back of the boat, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said, "Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing?" I love the King James. "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" So they wake up Jesus, not just with a request, but with an accusation. Then Jesus arose, wiped the sleep out of his eyes, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" Notice the connection, that when faith is gone, fear is present. So faith is the way that we replace and repel and rebuke our fears. And they feared exceedingly and said to each other, "Who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" They were afraid of the storm, and 5 minutes later, they're afraid of Jesus as they see the divine attributes of God, the power of heaven, the dynamic of the kingdom manifest. And they said, "Man, he's something else." Lord, we pray today that you talk to all of us, that you speak by your word to our hearts. Anoint your servants, anoint your word, and anoint your people. I pray for all that listen now and in the future, that they encounter you in this moment, that you speak deeply, richly, powerfully, and personally into their dynamic, to their heart, to their world. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So my first point is the point Christ said. Their journey began when Christ said, "It's time to move. It's time to cross over to the other side." You are a crossing over generation. And no matter where you are in life right now, or where you think you are, you stand in the longevity, the determination, the examination of your life, you're most likely in some kind of journey. So the Bible says we go from glory to what? Glory. We go from faith to faith, from righteousness to righteousness. That we're always progressing. We're always moving in life. And Jesus said it's time to cross over this storm. And so I just want to encourage you, the God that has begun a good work in you was going to finish it. That God, that Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of your faith. He's the Alpha. That's the first letter of the Greek alphabet. He's the Omega, the last letter. He's the first, the last, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. The God that you serve is a great finisher. And he that has begun the journey of your faith is going to cross you over to the other side of your destiny. You're going to see God answer your prayers, fulfill your heart's desire. You're going to see God fulfill the destiny you were born for. You're going to see God fulfill the dream he's given you in this world. He's not going to fail you. The Lord told Moses in Exodus chapter 14. Moses is preaching, the Lord will fight for you. You shall hold your peace. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. Everybody say, I'm going forward. They faced difficulty, but difficulty was not the proof of God's resistance. Please get this. Adversity is never a sign of God's disinterest or disapproval. Don't misinterpret adversity as God's disapproval or resistance to your life. It's normal because we live in a broken, fallen world. That's what God wants us to know and believe. My second point to you this morning is this. In between the two shores of a season of progress and going forward, there's usually a storm. Peter said it like this in his epistle. My brethren, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing is happening to you. But rejoice! Why? You're going to come out of this bigger and better. Christ is with you in the storms. He's with you in the day of adversity. David said it like this. Our God is a refuge and a strength in Psalm 46. A very present help in time of trouble. Psalm 34 says it like this. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver him out of them all. God is with you. God loves you. And God will never fail you. I know we go through some things that seems so intense and so difficult, or even so intrinsically evil, that it's hard to extract any kind of good thing out of it. But just give God the chance. There's nothing so bad God can't touch it and make it become something good in your life. My third point to you this morning is this. It is in in-betweens of life that we discover what's really inside of us. It is in the in-between of life that we discover what's really inside of us. Well, Pastor, what does that mean? Well, it means buried beneath kind of the superficial expressions of our conscious thoughts, our emotions, and our daily routine. We have deep core beliefs. We have deep core philosophical things that are the foundations, the cornerstones of what we truly believe. And what happens is pressure reveals. Pressure reveals. We test things by pressure. So we put pressure on steel or metals or pressure on different elements to determine their load capacity, how much pressure they can handle. And so pressure reveals. And so for us as believers, what does that mean? Well, God uses the storm to help us deal with the junk in our trunk. Shunda, are you with me? So have you ever been in a moment that was intense and suddenly you said or did something that you couldn't believe you said or did? Whoops. You're like, did I just say that? I'm a good church girl. How'd those words come out of my mouth? I thought I'd been saved 20 years. Where'd that come from? Where'd that action come from? Well, pressure squeezes things out of us, Jesus said in John 16, talking about the construction of the world, the way things are. Jesus said, in me you will have peace. Everybody shout peace. Say, Jesus equals peace. And in the world, though, you will have pressure. Tribulation is thipless, the Greek word. It means pressure, stress, to squeeze something until it changes form. It's used of the presses that squeezed grapes into wine or olives into olive oil. So Jesus said, pressures in the world. The greatest weapon the devil has against you is pressure. And you can only fulfill as much destiny as compared to the ratio of how much pressure you can sustain. So God won't give you more destiny than what your capacity is able to hold. And so we must become experts with pressure. Okay? So pressure is not your enemy. It's your school teacher. It's your friend. It's going to make you more like Jesus and make you more useful to his kingdom. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Thus, I've overcome pressure. I'm going to teach you how to overcome pressure. Paul said in Acts chapter 14, verse 22, we through many pressures enter the kingdom of God. So Paul said, every time there's a new expression of revelatory experience I'm going to experience in God, there's often a refining, a narrowing moment of pressure that I pass through. But if I can make it through the pressure, I enter into the promise. There's a great psalm, Psalm 107. I love it because it's descriptive kind of. If you're an entrepreneur or a business person, you can relate to this stuff. Psalm 107 says this, those that go down to the sea in ships who do business. Everybody say business. So if you want to have an exciting life, become an entrepreneur, okay? Who do business on the great waters. They see the works of the Lord, his wonders in the deep. For he commands and raises up the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves of the sea. They mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the depths. Their soul melts because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man. They're at their wit's end. Anybody ever been there? Yeah. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and the Lord brings them out of their distresses. He calms the storm so that the waves are still. Then they're glad because they're quiet. So he guides them to their desired haven. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Your storm's going to show you who you are. Your storm's going to show you who God is. Listen, don't be afraid of the storm. Its assignment is to make you more like Jesus. I pray this prayer almost every day. Make me more like you, Jesus. Make me a better husband. On Friday, Mary and I celebrated 38 years of marriage. It's our 38th anniversary. So I'm praying if she stays with me long enough, I'm going to become a good husband to her. So we're halfway there, sweetheart. Hang in there. It's going to get better. But I'm praying I want to be a better husband, better father, better grandpa, better pastor, better person, better. So I want to be more like Jesus. Being like Jesus, more like Jesus, makes me better at everything else in life. So I pray, Jesus, make me more like you. It's such a lovely prayer. Then I look in my life and something really ugly shows up. And it, I'm like, I didn't pray for that, Jesus. I said I want to be more like you. Now, please get this. God often uses difficult places and people to develop your Christ-like character. So God uses pressure. Stop running away from the very thing that's going to make you a better person. Stop asking God to put you, I need less stress in my life. I know you do. There's no place on the planet that has it except in your heart when the kingdom's ruling over you. When you have peace in you, you conquer the storms outside of you. Any storm you can sleep in, you have authority over. God wants you to rest by faith. Faith creates rest. Christ had faith. He's resting. He's sleeping in the boat. Let me just encourage you. God gives you a word in this season that you will use as a weapon in your next season. And there, as Christ was sleeping in the boat, the word of truth, the word of life, the word of power, the word of healing and deliverance, the word of protection was with them. All they had to do was wake him up. Now listen to me. Wake up your word. Because God's given you something somewhere in your journey that will work for you now. Don't forget his promises. Don't forget what he's spoken to you. There's something he has that he's spoken by his promise, by his word, by his spirit that will become your overcoming tool in this season. Don't give up, but wake up your word. Often we receive prophecies and, oh, thank you, Jesus, for the prophecy. We have 15 minutes of ecstasy and then we forget about it. And then a storm comes in. God, where are you? He's over there in the shelf in your prophecy. Go get your, wake up your word and speak it into your storm and watch God bring a miracle. So God answers us by his word. Amen? So wake it up. Don't forget what he said to you. And I love the description of the ups and downs. Listen, discouragement is usually the greatest when breakthrough is the closest. God uses our journey to prepare us for our destination. That's what God wants you to lock into. God wants you to know him. I used to think that I believed God was good no matter what, but then I went through something so intensely evil that my heart began to be suspicious of God. And just like the apostles that said, don't you care about us? Listen to me, God cares about you. And nothing can stop that. Nobody, nothing on this planet can make God stop loving you. God loves you fiercely, unconditionally, eternally. We sometimes feel separated by circumstance from that love, but that's always a lie. He loves you in the storm as much as he loves you on the shore. He loves you on the good day as much as he loves you on the bad day. Now listen to the sentence. God reveals his goodness to us in order that we might learn to trust him when things look bad. So we're worshiping. Every time we worship, we're feeling. Moses said, show me your glory. And God said, I'm going to make my goodness pass before you. So God baptizes us in his goodness and worshipful encounters. So that when bad things come, we don't mistrust him or that we don't assign to him blame for something he's not done. God's good even when life is not. Okay? And so he anchors us. And so think about this. These guys had been spending quality time with Christ. But when a storm... So if you would have asked Peter, before, you know, BS before the storm, okay... There's a lot there. If you asked Peter, BS, before the storm, hey, Peter, how much faith do you have in Jesus? Are you kidding me? I'm all in. I'm a 100%er. Ask John, oh, my goodness, I'm all in. James, all Nathaniel, all the dudes. Ask them, how much faith? But when they hit the storm, they found out their faith was shallow. So, storms reveal. Here's this good sentence. Pressure reveals, period. It reveals what's really in us. It's not a bad thing to find out we have some stuff we need to resolve, deal with, let God repair, heal. It's not a bad thing to find out we need some strength. It's not a bad thing we find out our faith can grow. It's not a bad thing Christ said to them, where's your faith? Why are you afraid? He was not condemning them. He was speaking a truthful evaluation. Guys, you don't have as much faith as you think. You with me? So the storm comes so my faith can grow. God's going to use pressure to magnificently strengthen. Everybody wants big biceps. Nobody wants to lift heavy weight. Pastor Benny was flexing his guns the other day here. All 7 inches of them. They were massively mighty, mighty machines. So, for all of us in this journey, okay, I need to go on the fourth point. It is in the in-between that I discover more about who Jesus really is. See, you can know God theoretically, theologically. You can know him in an academic way or in a belief way. But there's no knowing God like knowing him when he shows up and helps you. Job said, I've known you from afar. But now that you've showed up, man, my knower has shifted gears. Now I know you because you have manifested yourself to me. And I'm so grateful. Listen, so the Old Testament, here's Israel in their journey. And so across their journey, actually for 700 years, the family of Abraham grows into the nation of Israel. And then they're journeying through so many different places. But whenever they hit a crisis point and they would repent and call upon God, God would reveal a new aspect of his nature and character to them. So they're at the waters of Marah, which means bitter. They're thirsty. They're drinking. And they can't drink it. It's poisonous. And Moses sees a branch. He throws it into the water. And God makes the bitter water sweet. And the Lord said, my name is Yahweh Rapha, the Lord your physician or healer. They found out he was a healer when they were sick. Come on. When cancer came against me, I found out Jesus Christ is the cure of cancer. I found out who God is. No matter what you're going through in life, that circumstance to you that looks so challenging or so intimidating or so fearful, God isn't afraid of it. In fact, God's excited about showing you aspects of his nature and person you've not yet known, but you're going to discover in that storm. Oh, thank you, Jesus, that you're our healer, that by your stripes we are healed. Michael Maiden discovered he was a healer when sickness came against me and my family. I discovered that Jesus Christ is a comforter when my heart was broken. Jesus said in Luke 4, the Spirit of God's upon me to heal the brokenhearted. I'm here to boast about God's healing power. Jesus Christ healed my broken heart, and he can heal your broken heart too. There's no life so broken that Christ can't heal it. If you want a testimony, then don't be afraid of your test, and don't be afraid of your storm. I found out that Jesus was a deliverer when trouble came. Like the psalmist said in Psalm 34, this poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The righteous cry out, the Lord hears, and he delivers them out of all their troubles. There's no trouble bigger than your God. Oh, God, thank you for your delivering power. Thank you for your delivering power. You're going to make it. Anybody besides me been delivered from some trouble, wave your hand and say, man, you're talking. Pastor, I've got a bunch of testimonies. If you're in trouble now, look at all the hands waving around. The God that showed it for them is going to show it for you. I discovered that Jesus was a provider. Pastor, how did you find out Jesus was a provider? When I was in great need. Mary and I were serving in a church. We were very poor. Living in Santa Ana, California. The church paid us nothing. We were living off of the generosity. We were out of food. Mary went on a trip. There was no food. I went down, checked the refrigerator. There's ketchup. There's milk. There's a frozen chicken in the freezer. That's it. There was not one can in the cupboards. We have two little babies. I got frustrated and I said, God, how come you're making me live this way? And he said to me, it's not my fault you live like this. Why don't you read the scriptures and find out what I can do for you? I reread the Bible and found out that Jesus Christ meets all your need. I've lost everything and had God give back everything. Never believe that God can't supply the need in your life, no matter what it looks like today. My God shall supply all your need by his riches and glory. We lost the house. God gave us a house. I lost the church. God gave me this $30 million building for free. He's a provider. It's not just because I'm a preacher. I know lots of poor, unhappy, poverty-ridden preachers that have no faith in God to provide. It's not God's will that they live like that. And it's not God's will you live like it. God doesn't bless me because I'm a preacher. God blesses me because I'm a believer. I believe his promises. We discover God's a restorer when we encounter seasons of loss. The Bible says in Job 2:25, I will restore the years to you. I'm going to repair, restore, rebuild, replenish, renew. I'm going to bring back to your life. Listen to me. I thought my life was over at 36 because I lost everything. But I discovered he's the restorer. Don't give up midway through your journey of faith. If the storm takes everything from you, he's waiting on the shore to give everything back to you. Don't give up. He will restore. I found out he's a refuge when the storms of life come. God's a refuge and strength, the psalmist said. A very present help in time of trouble. I found out he's my closest friend. He said he would never leave me nor forsake me. Loneliness is a lie. I discover he's peace when anxiety and depression tried to grip me and control me. His peace is more powerful than my anxiety. And listen to me, you can conquer anxiety because heaven's peace is more powerful than this world's anxiety. The God of peace, he describes himself as the author, the very controller, the liberator of peace, the prince of peace, as Isaiah declares. I discovered that God gives hope when you feel hopeless. I call this room the dream room. It's my little nickname for this room. Because in this room, if you come here brokenhearted, he will love your heart back to health. And he will allow your heart to dream again. And you know your heart is healthy when it starts to dream again. You are made to live in hope, and hope is oxygen to your soul. You will suffocate without it, but you will thrive when it's there. The God of hope will flood you with hope. The problem the disciples had was not that the person of Jesus was sleeping in the back of the boat, but it was that the promise of Jesus was sleeping in their hearts. May God's word awaken in your hearts and release power, release healing. The more intense your storm, the more significant your breakthrough. Let me close with this. They wake up Jesus. And so Jesus is giving us the model of overcoming storms. First of all, sleep. Bill Johnson said, any storm you can sleep in, you have authority over. Rest in it. Okay, so secondly, here's what he did. He wakes up. He looks into the unseen world. He looks into the winds. See, if you don't rebuke the devil, you can't restore your soul. There's no amount of counseling that can take the place of authority over the devil. Okay? So he dealt with things first. And the Bible says he rebuked the wind. He exercised authority over the unseen world. Now, please get this. That's the most powerful word in the ministry of Christ. He rebuked the illness, the fever on Peter's mom, and she was healed. He rebuked demon spirits, and they left people. And now he's rebuking the storm because he recognizes hidden in its circumstantial manifestation was a spiritual genealogy. It was from hell. Pastor, why was it from hell? And why was Jesus so urgently at the inappropriate time crossing the Sea of Galilee at nighttime? Because On the other side of those seas, on the other side of that journey, was a man suffering in horrific demonic oppression. And Jesus said, he heard the cry of the demoniac of the Gadarenes. He said, boys, I got some business on the other side of the sea. And when he made his journey, the spirits, the strongholds in that region, represented by that man, rose up and tried to resist him. But the devil can't stop you unless you quit. Don't quit. He rebuked the wind. I rebuke every demonic assignment against your life. I rebuke every witchcraft. I rebuke every incantation. I rebuke every assault, every oppressive agency of hell. I command it to stop this moment. And listen to me. You don't need me to pray that prayer. You pray that prayer. The winds, the ill winds, the vision, the ill winds of destructive behavior start functioning in your family. Don't sit there and gauge it, watch it. Rise up. Take authority over it. Lastly, the third thing he did was Jesus looked down at the waves. Listen to me. Once you've bound the spirits of hell, you can heal the waves of men's souls. And Jesus said, peace. Peace. And there was great calm. We believe in both deliverance and inner healing, that they flow together. And your storm always will have a great storm, always has a meshing of those things. Some of it's the devil, some of it's our own soul. Will you bind the devil? And then you receive. Jesus specializes in restoring our soul. He specializes. They got to the other side. And you're going to get there too. No matter what's trying to resist you. No matter what's trying to threaten you. No matter what's trying to repel you. I declare in Christ's name, you're making it to the other side. Come on, stand your feet and give God a praise this morning. Someone shout, I'm making it to the other side. Prayer team, would you join me down front? Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness in our lives. I pray today, God, that you would encourage every soul listening to my voice, listening to your word. They would know you are with them in the storm and that you're going to help them get to the other side. Don't quit, business people. Don't quit, parents. Don't quit, couples. Don't quit, ministers. Don't quit, students. Don't lose your faith. Don't lose your trust. Don't turn back. In the middle of the storm, Jesus has an appointment with you. He's going to show you who he is. He's going to show you what he can do. Hey, as we close today, if you've come here. Maybe your mom invited you. Maybe a friend invited you. If you've never received Jesus as your Savior, that simply means this, that Jesus died for your sins. And the Bible says God so loved the world, the whole world, that he sent us his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in Jesus Christ would not perish, but have everlasting life. God's gift to you is Jesus. Jesus' gift to you is grace and forgiveness. If you've never received Jesus, we'd love to pray for you and introduce you to the best thing you'll ever know in this world. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm going through a super intense storm, sometimes we need someone to join their faith to ours to make it across the stormy waters, okay? You're not alone. Don't leave this room if you feel like you need prayer. Don't rush out. Let God touch you. Let God help you. Let God strengthen you. Let God encourage you. He will. He'll meet you today. If you say, Pastor, I could use some prayer. I'm going through a pretty intense battle. Let us pray for you. Thirdly, if you're here and you have a physical need, we believe and we see. Last year, we had documented 4 people healed of stage 4 cancer. Their doctors told them cancer was gone. Jesus does that. And so we believe that he can heal. So if you've come and you have a physical need, please let us pray for you. Anyone needing prayer, if you come forward, please. We will pray and prophesy and Declare God's word over your life. The rest of you, for just like 90 more seconds, would you just worship the Lord? You part the seas.
You split the seas.